good news of Jesus comes to us in the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Not procure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. O God, we gather here with this season of life surrounding us. We pray that in all that we carry here with us this day, that light of the greatest gift, love, may shine upon us. Open our hearts to the truth of your will for us and for all your people, that we might be light for the world, and that your light may shine in us. Speak to us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. It would have been so easy had he just left it at that. Why couldn't he have left well enough alone? There in his own hometown, Jesus, the son of Joseph the carpenter, and Mary had the honor of speaking in the synagogue he grew up in. In last Sunday's gospel reading, we heard how he had unrolled the scroll of the ancient prophet Isaiah and read these words to the people: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then last week we heard how he had rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, as was the custom, sat down in the position of the teacher. Everyone, all his neighbors and family and childhood friends, they were looking to see what he might say next. The eyes of all in that synagogue were fixed on him, Luke tells us. And Jesus says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The sound of those words echoes throughout the building in our hearts. Everyone there in Nazareth was initially, Luke tells us, so very proud of him. What does Luke say? All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. They even wanted to brag a little bit. "Is not this Joseph's son, one of our own?" They were just as proud of him as we are of our own young people when they stand up here in church and tell us about a Super Bowl election, or next Sunday when they come up and lead a new Sunday worship service. So proud of them when they share a Christmas program, or provide a meal for Pancake Supper, or serve as acolytes or assisting ministers or lectors. All the things that we see them do, they bring pride to our hearts. And so it was, Luke says, for the people in Nazareth. They were so proud of this Jesus who had grown up there in their own worship space. couldn't eat. They just left it at that. Those friends and family members and neighbors in Nazareth, they would have been perfectly fine with the good news of God's promise in Isaiah that it had been fulfilled for them. But why did Jesus have to go on and spoil it all? By pointing out that it would be them, his hometown friends and childhood neighbors, it would be them who would ultimately reject him. And why did Jesus have to spoil it all by starting to talk about all those other people? Of all the examples he could have come up with, of all the stories of God bringing healing and hope to God's people in the Old Testament, he picks these two obscure stories that had to deal with foreigners. The widow at Zarephath in Sidon, and Naaman the Syrian. Even today, after 2,000 years, all we have to do is turn on the news or read the paper to know the bad blood that has existed for centuries between the Israelis and the surrounding countries. Of all the political tensions that still go on in that part of the world. And 2,000 years ago, it wasn't any different. Can you imagine someone today who had grown up in Israel and had become famous? An Israeli who everyone was looking to perhaps be the next leader of their nation. And he calls for a press conference in Tel Aviv, and he stands in front of the cameras and says, "Today God is bringing some good news for the Palestinians and the Syrians." Why, that person would be run out of town or rail. And that's exactly what the people of Nazareth did to Jesus. They were so enraged, the original words say, when he brings up these stories about God helping these other people, that they literally drive him out of town, ready to even hurl him off the edge of a cliff. Why couldn't Jesus have left well enough alone? Surely that thought had to go through his mind. He rolls up the scroll, looks out at all those adoring faces in that jam-packed synagogue. He could have just let it be and walked away, had everybody slap him on the back, say, "What a good message it was today, Jesus." But no. He had to go and take the next step. No one asked him about it, and he brought it. He had to tell people what they didn't want to hear. Something that turned them off. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I first saw the scripture lessons that happened to come up in this annual lectionary for today, the first thought that went through my mind is it might be better just to ignore the gospel altogether. Because wouldn't it be nice just to stand up here and talk about the second lesson, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. It's in our human nature to want to play it safe. What about us? What about us when it comes to our journey of faith? Do we just want to play it safe? Or are we willing to take the next step? Whether you're young and still in school, whether you're grown up and married, whether you just graduated from college and starting out life, whether you're retired, whether wherever you're at on the spectrum of life. Is it easy in the journey of faith to just want to play it safe? Perhaps like Jesus, we have grown up in the Lord's house. It feels good to be here among family and friends and people we know. It feels good to hear all the nice words about how God loves us, about God's forgiveness, about how special you each are to God as God's child. And wouldn't it be nice just to leave it at that? Go out living on our lives every day like everyone else. Hanging out with our friends, going to school, going to practice, focusing on our house, our family, our retirement, just the same old like everybody else. But what about the next step? The reality that God has a mission for you. That by the power and work of the Holy Spirit, you have been called to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Will I take the next step? Say it with me.
Will I take the next step?
Whatever that may look like for any one of us. Will you stand up to your group of friends at school and risk being turned on if you tell them it's not right to be sending out those text messages about that other girl? That it's not right to pick on that new boy who's a little different, whose clothes are all ratty or worn, who speaks with a strange accent? Will you share your faith with that group of friends you go out with or work with? There's people who live in the house next door, your buddies on the golf course, or some friends in your social circle. Mom and Dad, will you stand up in front of your kids and say, I don't care what anybody else does, our family is going to be at church worshiping the Lord every Sunday. Will you be so bold as Jesus was? To stand up and speak the truth that God sent Jesus into this world to bring good news, light, and love for everyone, no matter where they're from, no matter how different they are. Will you and I stand up with words and decisions and actions that might make us unpopular with everyone around us, might even make them mad? Will we take the next step in our lives? Will we actually follow Jesus and what he taught? In today's Old Testament lesson, we hear how the Lord called Jeremiah. How Jeremiah didn't want to respond because he was too young. In fact, all throughout Jeremiah's 40-year career as a prophet, he struggled with his call. He wearied of being rejected, of being attacked, of being ridiculed. Over and over again, he would even complain to God about it. But nonetheless, the Spirit gave him the power to remain faithful through it all. I remember many years ago, prior to a youth Sunday, this is what Debbie mentioned earlier on, speaking to a young teenager in our congregation. Are you going to sing with all the other youth next Sunday? I asked. No, I don't want to, came the answer, to which the mom, who happened to be standing there, replied, well, what's I don't want to got to do with anything? I chuckled, but to be truthful, it's a good question for us all. When it comes to our lives of faith and discipleship, to our calling and purpose, what's I don't want to got to do with anything? I don't want to dress up in an acolyte robe. I don't want to serve on this or that. I don't want to stand up in front of anybody. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't want to do so and so. I've done my part. Let somebody else take their turn. I don't want my opinions about the world or other people to be actually shaped by what Jesus thought. I don't want to go about my daily business reflecting the ultimate priority of faith, hope, and love. And living the truth that the greatest thing in life in my thought process, in my daily decisions, in my purpose for living is love. Not mushy, commercialized Valentine's Day love, but true self-giving, self-sacrificing, hard-shaped God love. God's love for others. Even those, Jesus said, who may have hurt us. Even those who Jesus said might be our enemies. It's difficult to find almost anyone in the Bible who wanted to do what they were first called to do. Almost everyone is reluctant, from Moses on Mount Sinai to Jeremiah the young boy. There's story after story of people offering our excuses to God, and yet God simply will not let go when God calls. And God says, as he did to Jeremiah, when I call, I will provide for you what you need. And so he gives Jeremiah the word, puts it in his mouth. He gives Jesus the power of the Holy Spirit to walk right through the midst of that crowd and to continue on out of the world to do the mission that he has been given. When it comes to moving out of our comfort zones to receive the call of the Lord, it is almost always difficult to take the next step. Sometimes because you and I might not know how people around us will respond. But here's the deal. We always know how the Lord will respond. The power of the Holy Spirit, God will give you faith. And God will give you hope. And God will give you the greatest of these. God will fill your heart with love. Be shared with the world. One person, one life, one opportunity at a time. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, says the Lord. And before you were born, I consecrated you. You did not choose me, Jesus said. I chose you. The Lord has appointed you. Jesus has chosen you. So now, with the Spirit burning in your heart, take the last step. Follow Jesus. Be the disciple.